Well, again, it's a joy to be here in church tonight. We're going to look back in James again, and we'll continue through the first chapter of James. Trust it's a blessing to you while you find your place there. Sometimes services are exciting, sometimes they're not. I heard about this fellow that was visiting a church, and the pastor had mentioned that there was a meeting of the board after church, and they'd meet in the room right off the lobby somewhere there. And so sure enough, after the service, that visitor, he just came in there, and the pastor told the whole group of them. He said, "Sir, I'm sorry, this is for the meeting of the board." He said, "Well, I guess I'm as bored as anybody was in that service, so I'm here." So not that bored. We're looking at James chapter 1, where again, we've been looking at those various trials, those diverse temptations. We've been looking at that, those trying of our faith worketh patience, and patience needs to have a perfect work. We know all those things. We're going to look at verse number 8 and talk a little bit more about our struggles that we have. And then the evening out that the Lord does in our lives, whether we're high degree, low degree, the Lord has a way of evening those. So we're looking at verse number 8. We'll begin there. The Bible says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashions of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." When he is tried, I'd like to just teach through this section. We'll have a good time together, I believe, and trust that the Lord blesses us. Father, thank you for this time to gather together. I pray for the young people that are downstairs. I thank for the children with so many great workers that are helping with them, dear Lord, having a great time. I pray that you would instill the Word of God into their hearts, their lives, and I pray that you would do a great work in them. And dear Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in us. And I ask you to meet with us now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've looked at the trying of our faith, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, the Bible says. And we're going to see tonight how those trials that we have faced, that we are, dare I say, privileged to get to go through. We go through them, whether we're privileged or not. We may not feel that way. But how those trials allow us to showcase God's ability. And when you look at it in the most objective of ways, there are certain people that God must be able to trust a lot to, because he allows a lot of trials to come their way. And he says that he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able to bear, so he's able to trust certain people. I love what the Bible says about Abraham. He was a friend of God. He knew how he would direct his family. Boy, what a reputation somebody might have. And so we look at this passage tonight, and we'll see how we can come through these trials that we don't want. I mean, you'd have to be some kind of sick puppy to say, "Oh, just give me lots of trials." But they come irregardless, and then how we deal with them is the only choice that we get to make. So we're admonished to remain steady. We're admonished to remember that God wants to work in us each day, and he wants us to trust him while we're going through some things. I think about this, that the Bible says in verse number 12, I get a little bit ahead of myself, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. It sounds a lot like Job 23:10, which says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Don't forget that the Lord Almighty is in control. He doesn't tempt anybody. He's not tempted by anybody. And so that word temptation, we'll get to it in just a little bit, is used in a couple of different words. If you're talking about God dangled something in front of you to try to get you to swat at it like a kitty cat, then God doesn't tempt you. But now God does allow trials, those temptations, to come to make us better ready for the next issue that we're going to face. So let's look at it. Verses 8 through 10, we see that we're supposed to remain focused on the Lord, the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we've got to stay consistent in our walk. Here's the problem with many of the Christians that you know, and let's not pin that on everybody else. Here's our problem if we're not careful. We're up one day and down the next. We're on again, we're off again. We're happy and we're excited about what God wants to do in our life. And then the next day, we're scraping the bottom and we're not very well at doing what we're supposed to be doing. But we've got to stay consistent. That's the way that we're supposed to walk. Because if we're only a great Christian on all the good days, we're going to be a pretty miserable testimony for the Lord. One business person that I got to hear several times, he said it like this. Whether this is a good outlook or not, I'm just telling you what he did. He said, before I start getting any phone calls, he had multi arms of his businesses. He said, before I get any phone calls, I try to pray in the morning, he said, and then I expect 10 bad calls to come. He said, that way when they start coming, I'm not surprised. And he said, then I just hit them and I set them up and knock them down. Okay, that needs to be done. That needs to be done. He said, if I don't and I go into the day thinking, oh boy, it's just all going to be wonderful, then I get ruined. My attitude gets demolished before the first start of the day. And so regardless of whether that's a good idea or not, it is true that trials are going to come. And so we're supposed to be that person that isn't double-minded. We know what it's like to be double-minded, back and forth, back and forth. If you're a man in here, to be double-minded is to be a woman. You know, can't make up her mind. Sorry, ladies, that's not true. But to want one thing really bad, and then 2 minutes later to want the exact opposite. You know it's a proven fact. It's not proven, but it seems to be so true that you almost could prove it, that a lady can say, I love you and I hate you in 2 minutes and mean it both times. Within a 2-minute span. And so we understand that the Bible says we're not supposed to be double-minded about our following of Christ. Don't follow Christ when things are great, and then when things are bad, say, I don't know what's going on. Because remember that Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation. Don't be discouraged or don't be surprised about that. Should it be any wonder? Because they hated him before they hated us. And so we're supposed to stay consistent. But how do you do that? That's what the Bible tells us. Look on in the next verse. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. Person doesn't have anything is just as able to go do something as the person who's got it made in the shade with lemonade, because God is his enabler. I think of the stories, I was talking to a preacher lastly, not too long ago, stories of good preachers like that, that often went off to college with little or no money, and then were just seeing God take care of things again and again at Tennessee Temple, where I was at for just a little while. There's lots of boys that came and just said, well, God's just going to have to provide. And where God guides, he provides. And so that man of low estate, we'd have no lack there. So our lack is removed if we will just trust in the Lord. You may say, it's not my fault. I don't have enough to be stable. You're talking about this person that's not unstable, back and forth, double-minded. I don't have enough. Enough what? Enough stuff. I don't have enough stuff to be steady Eddie. Well, verse number 9 removes that excuse, because that person that's a low estate, he can be exalted and brought up. But not only do you see that, but that person that's a low estate can come up, because God can provide for you whatever God orders. One old preacher said, whatever God orders, he pays for. If he wants you to do something, he'll make a way. But not only does that person that doesn't have enough have all that he needs, because Christ makes up the difference, but also that person that's way up here. Look at verse 10. But the rich, he ought to be in such a mindset that he's made low. Why? Because it's unwise to trust in uncertain riches. I love it when people are successful. I love it when their business ventures bloom and blossom. But we ought to trust God and be faithful to God and not be unstable, not be double-minded, whether it goes great guns or it goes broke. Now, I hope it goes great guns, because I pray for the businessmen of our church, and may their tribe increase, because I want them to do well for their family. I want them to do well for this church. I want them to do well for our missions program. And I'm not shy about any of that, because I believe that we can use all that for the glory of God. But if it doesn't go that way, then we don't need to be unstable, because we either fit in verse number 9 or verse number 10. Either you got a lot or you don't have much, or you don't have about in the middle. And God's your answer for every state that you find yourself in. Just as the poor has the riches of heaven to help at his disposal, the rich man has to remember that his riches won't save him, his riches won't help him, His trust needs to be in the Lord. Do you see how that old saying that the level of the ground is level at the foot of the cross is not only true in salvation, but it's true in how we live? So we see that we're supposed to remain focused on the Lord, no matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are. And we see that we're supposed to stay focused on the Lord. But look in verse number 11. It just digs down deeper to remind us of our insufficiency. Because the Bible teaches that our abilities or our resources, they fade away. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his way. See there, God doesn't want anybody to be rich. That's not what that's teaching. God doesn't want anybody to trust in their riches. You can have all the money that God sends to you. God says in His Word that He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You understand the poorest person in this room is richer than many countries in the world right now. You've got a warm place to sleep in the winter. You got a cool place to sleep in the summer. Unheard of in some countries. So we're rich. So that's really a false argument. But so God's not saying in verse number 11 that, wow, fooey on those rich people. He is saying that nobody, regardless of how rich we are, and we're all rich in this room, regardless of how rich we are, we ought not to be trusting in those uncertain riches. Because as soon as that flower or that grass comes up, that heat of the sun just bakes it if it stays out very long and just withers it down. That's about as effective as our wherewithal. That'd be like us saying, God, I think I've got enough in my retirement account right now. You can quit blessing me. That'd be the most foolish prayer a person could ever pray. But that's sometimes about the way that we live. Lord, because of my great mind and my great business investing sense, I've got it to a place where you can go help somebody else because I'm okay. Well, your riches could fade overnight. Our trust is in the Lord before the riches. Our trust is in the Lord during the riches. Our trust is in the Lord if the riches aren't there anymore. Our ability and our resources, they simply fade away. Can I just add this to the end, that riches don't ever prepare us to meet God? I think everybody in this room knows that. But not only it's not only what you're thinking that a person can never buy their way into heaven. We certainly know that. But God also didn't call anybody just to make money and not serve Him in some other ways. God wants all of us to be those servants of His. There's people all around us that need our help. Doesn't matter whether you're the richest person in the room or the poorest person in the room. God wants you to be a help to some different people. But can I tell you this also? The people who have had the most, they die. Just like the poor folk. As I told you, I went to Tennessee Temple University for a little while, which is now defunct, and those dormitories were named after people. DeMoss Hall was the big one there. Across from the Welcome Center, there was another Wagner, there was another Martin, and usually those are named after somebody who gives a good bit to the school, and that's fine. But do you know that now, not only are those people who gave the large endowments to the school dead, now those buildings, I watched a video recently of Martin Hall where I stayed for a while. Those buildings are an eyesore to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood's not that great now anymore, but the people in the neighborhood want whoever owns it now to even tear the buildings down. So not only is the person who gave an endowment to the school to pay for a building in his name and put his name over the entrance, now that person's dead. But now even the building that was built by their money is an eyesore to people around the neighborhood, and they'd like it tore down. You say, what are you trying to say? Riches don't last. That's why the Bible is so clear to lay our treasures up in heaven. That's why I love our missions program, that we're able to invest in that, that it doesn't matter what the stock market does. I'm for you having money in the stock market and in the missions program. I'm for both, but not have it in one and not in the other. So we understand, or not in the stock market, not in the mission specifically is what I mean. But I'm just saying we're reminded in verse 11 of our insufficiency. And let's look in verse number 12 before we get done. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, this temptation is the same thing, as a same word is listed up in verse number 3, and that's that trying. So again, you could say, well, blessed is that man that's, when he's tempted, he stays faithful, maybe tempted by a lewd woman or a lewd man or this. Yes, that's a fine application. But the interpretation is, blessed is that man that endureth those trials, those things that are pressing upon them. It goes on to say, for when he is tried of those trials, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Some of Buffalo Ridge's most faithful Christians are no longer able to come to this auditorium. So we think that we're all that and a bag of chips if we're everything. But some of the most faithful, and I can't tell who is and isn't, that's between them and the Lord, but some of the sweetest, most faithful, godly Christians haven't been able to get out of their house for some good while now. They are, though, enduring that temptation. They are facing those sicknesses and those troubles and those trials and those tribulations, and they're praising God through it. And can I just say that it's probably a good thing it's some of them and not some of me, maybe, because they may have more faith to face the trial than what some of us might have. And we get it all wrong, that, wow, poor person over there that's homebound, and that truly is a saddened place to be for most folks. But those struggles that they're in, those trying of their faith, those tribulations, those difficulties, those temptations, as it's listed here in verse number 12, their opportunity for reward for that person. Because the Bible says that when they've endured that, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You tell me, that person that's faced trial after trial after trial, but still stayed faithful to the Lord, is in line, if it's like that, at the judgment seat of Christ. And then somebody else who had relative ease in their life, who do you think is going to be a happier Christian there at the judgment seat? Well, that person that is going to have the reward from the Lord because they stayed faithful. Let's go just a step further. What if it's that one person that had trial after trial after trial, and they stayed with a faithful heart and a sweet spirit and said, well, the Lord's will be done, and they kept their Christian testimony. And then another person, and many of you right here in this room, you fit in this, of what I just described, trial after trial, yet you still keep that smile of God on your face. Well, the Lord's in control. I'm just trusting the Lord. I want to be that person versus that third one that I want to go just a step further with, and that is that person that has that trial, that believer that has that trial, and then they just say, well, if that's what it's like serving the Lord, I'm just not going to do it. And then takes a little step back and just says, fully on all of it. You tell me, who do you want to be at the end? I want to be that one that when he was tried, when he was tempted, he shall receive the crown of life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, talking about the crown of life, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. That specifically is talking to those people that endure hardness and even endure almost up to martyrdom. So, what is a trial? What can take so many different forms and fashions, I can't tell you exactly what it is. But I can tell you some overriding trait about them all. A trial, temptation, trying your faith, whatever. It's a way for you and I to showcase the goodness of God And you say, how can you do that? The death of a loved one, the loss of a spouse, the torment of some family issue going on. How do I do that? I don't have the strength. You're right. You don't have the strength, and I don't have the strength. That's where the application comes in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Let the person of low degree be exalted because God can help him. Let that person who can trust in their certain riches, and you can put riches or you can put ability or talent or charisma or any other thing in there, let that person realize that those things won't get them through. Because the rich, he's made low. The sun is no sooner risen than with a burning heat, it withereth the grass and the flower thereof faileth. Let me give you this. Somebody wrote this. I just read it as I was getting ready for tonight. Testing will either draw you to the Lord or drive you from him. And there's a lot of people who go either way. They fold their arms and say, if that's the way it's going to be. I'm not saying they depart from the faith or anything like that, but they just take a step back and just say, I pass. And then there's that other Christian that when those testing comes, say, Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. When he is tried, the Bible says, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And this specific connection from verse number 12 would be all through these the first 11 verses. He trusts him, or he loves him rather, and he loves him through those trying of our faith. It worketh patience. We remember all that. The trying of our faith worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work in you. Remember, we went through all that. Well, on the tail end of that section, it's labeling all those people that trusted God through the trying of our faith. It labels them as somebody who loves God. And so may I just remind each of us, when he is tried, when things happen to your life, may you and I be like Job. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. May I be so sure of that. But if you're going to say that, you've got to trust him through the trial. Let me give you this. They were asking for favorite verses at a church one time. This old guy, he was going around there, and everybody in the Sunday school class or whatever it was, they were saying what verse they meant. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Somebody else said Psalm 37, 3 and 4. Somebody else said Romans 8, 28. And he didn't give his reference, but he said, my favorite verse is, and it came to pass. And the pastor said, what kind of weird verse is that? He said, preacher, it's got me through a lot of problems. He says, because the Bible says, and it came to pass. He said, I realized from that verse, it did not come to stay. It came to pass. And those trials and those troubles in your life, they are passing as well. I'd like to say they'd be gone quickly, but some of us, they may ride all the way out to the end. But those temptations, trials, testing, those give us an opportunity to stand for the Lord. I don't want you to say it out loud, but who's the most faithful, tested, tried, sick Christian that you know? I don't mean sick as in, wow, they're sick, demented. I mean sick as in they're having sickness. Think of that person for a little while. Can you imagine being them at the judgment seat of Christ? How even though when the world said, is that the way your God's treating you? Is that the way that religious stuff is happening to you? Is that the way that's what Jesus is doing to you? But they've remained faithful. I'm thinking of good old saints of God right now who have just been faithful through loss and trial. And boy, it's going to have to be a boy howdy day at the judgment seat of Christ for those people. Not because they are somebody, but the Lord, I believe, will come, as the scripture says, and give them the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, the trying of our faith we learned about the other night. Now we see when he is tried, let us, dear Lord, act right. Let us trust you through the trial. Lord, we don't get to be in the decision-making process of whether or not we have the trial. All we get to do is see how we respond through faith about the trial. Help us respond correctly, I pray. in Jesus' name. Would you look this way for just a minute? Do you remember your mom saying that when you're in kindergarten, first grade, some of you didn't go to kindergarten, but your mom or somebody would tell you, you can't control what other people do to you. But what's the end of that? But you can control what you do back to them. You and I don't get to choose what trials come our way. Oh, some of them are by our bad choices, I get that. But by and large, we don't get to choose those. Those just come. What we do get to choose is whether we respond in faith, trusting the Lord, or whether we respond in anger or some departing fact that, or some departing from our faithful position. We don't get to choose the trial that comes our way, but we do, by the power of the Holy Spirit, get to choose how we respond. And when we do that, may we do it in faith of the Lord. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God spoke to your heart and you'd like to come pray, I invite you to come. Maybe there's something going on in your life, or maybe in your family's life, that you'd like to pray and ask the Lord's help and His assistance in. Maybe you want to come pray for some church member. You know they're going through it. And we say it often. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Maybe you need to pray for somebody that you know is going through it right now. Pray for strength. Pray for the ability to keep their head up and go forward. And lastly, perhaps you're here tonight and not sure that you're saved. If that's you tonight, you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and come and just let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure? You're not sure if something were to happen to you tonight, you'd go to heaven, but you'd like to know. As they play through this verse, just step out and come. Thank you. You can look this way. It's a joy to be in church. I was just counting folks. Probably the people in that section might have been about what was in a church that I grew up in. We had 50 or 60, but that would count the nurseries and everybody. So the people in that section may have been about everybody in the whole church. And so we are blessed to have the people here on a Wednesday night. And thank God for you being here. And I don't ever want anybody just to come out of duty. I mean, I know that my kids have come to church a lot of times out of duty or out of their dad that just said, we're all going. But duty has got me here a lot of times. But a lot of times after I got here out of duty, then God just did a great work in my heart after I got there. And I hope that the Lord has blessed you tonight. And I hope that you leave out of here. Do me a favor, please. Pray for Sunday. Pray that the Lord would give us a great day in the Lord's house again. And pray that somebody would get saved. If there's somebody here unsaved, whichever department they're in, that they would trust Christ as Savior. And we don't want to just gather together for a crowd. We want to gather together and have the Lord work on our hearts. So thank you for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.